every year when it gets to the Aseret Hadibros, I like to focus and, you know, hone in on one of the Aseret Hadibros. Yeah, right. The Deklag that doesn't exist, right? Okay, so the Pasuk in Lo Sachmod, which is the last Aseret Hadibros in both Yisro and in Parshas Vaschana that we read yesterday, mentions a whole bunch of different things. The Torah gets very specific. And you can see the pasuk here on the top of your page. Lo sachmod eishes reyecha v'sharcha v'chamoro v'skol hashel reyecha. And I wanted to raise a few questions. Is this lav relevant to us? You know, sometimes we read a pasuk and here it's in the Aseret Hadibros and we don't take it so seriously. What I'd like to try to demonstrate is that there are a lot of issues that come up in our daily lives that might possibly border on a lav, a violation of lo sachmod. And when I studied this today, I was very surprised by this. And one of the questions I want to ask you is, what about jealousy? I mean, if I'm jealous of something, you know, he's rich, I'm not rich, does that make me in violation of Lo Sachmod? Or does Lo Sachmod hone in on a specific object that he has? And let's say I don't want his object, but I'd love to have something very similar to him. Would that itself be a violation of Lo Sachmod? So there are many different nuances of issues. What I found, which is fascinating in the poskim, that if, let's say, you sign an agreement, which is called Tnoim, before your marriage, and according to that agreement, your future father-in-law, let's say, is supposed to give you X, and you decide, you know, that's not enough, and you press him for more, that might be a violation of Lo Sachmod, by the way. And then in addition to that, it becomes more complicated because even in the case of donating organs, if let's say somebody in your family needs an organ transplant, you have the organ to donate, and they press you because they need your organ, have they violated Lo Sachmod? Or does Lo Sachmod only apply to physical possessions but not to the body itself? I mean, these are all interesting shilas. Right, right. In addition, we have the issue of Lo Sisava. You know, the Torah says in our parasha, you know, it doesn't appear in Yisro, but here in Parashat Vaschanan, the Torah formulates two different Lo Sases. The question is whether to count them as one or as two. Lo Titava and Lo Tachma. And what's the difference between the two? So without further ado, let's begin with the Rambam in the end of the first parak of Hilchos Gzeilah Aveidah. It's the first source on your page. The Rambam says, "Kol ha-mis'ave beiso o ishto v'kelev shel chavera v'chol chayotzeben mishar dvarim she'efshalo l'knoson b'mama." The Rambam says, if you have a desire for something that your friend owns, and you can purchase that. Says the Rambam, even if you didn't purchase it, but just the very fact that you desired it, Kevon shechoshav belivo. So where is the violation of the law? If he doesn't go through the sale, then where is the violation of the law? In the lev. Are you with me? In the lev. The Rambam says, Kevon shechoshav belivo. He's already imagining. He's got this fantasy. You know, maybe even a plan. Heich yikne dover zeh. The niftal libo bedover. There's a pite alef. You know, he's already desiring. How can I buy this thing from him? You know, he owns it. I'd love to have it. Can I possibly purchase it from him? Ofar belotase shenemar lo tisave v'ein taiva el bolev bilvad. The Rambam is outspoken that the violation of this love is in the heart. There's no action. And maybe the Rambam is setting us up for the difference between Lo Sisav and Lo Sachmod, because Lo Sachmod means not only do I desire that which you have, but I'm also going to try in every way possible to cajole you, to influence you, to sell it to me. But here in the case of Lo Sisav, I haven't even gotten to the point where you've sold it to me. I just desire it, and I'm thinking and planning how to get it from you, how to get you to sell it. That's a violation of a lav of Lo Sisav. So Rav Bosak, my question to you is the following. I walk into your house, and wow, you know, you got a beautiful house, Bli Ayin Hara, you know, you got all these beautiful things in this. And I would love to have some of that stuff. How can I get you to sell it to me? For example, I don't know if any of you are collectors. If you're not, do you know anyone who's a collector?
I have made some collections of that.
Like, for example, give me examples.
Magic cards.
Okay. Do you know that people collect almost anything?
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, one of the members of my family collects schnapps gläsler, you know, those little shot glasses. And he's got shot glasses, a presentation from all over the world. I know someone who collects, you won't believe this, old stecker. How do you say it in English? Yeah. You know, when an old person goes with a walking stick. A cane. And they're beautiful canes, and some of them are silver plated and whatever. He has an unbelievable collection. He can open up a museum. People collect all sorts of things. People collect ships, you know, like reconstructed, what do you call them? Model ships, right? So I walk into your house, and let's say I'm a collector of X, Y, or Z. Maybe I'm even a collector of ancient sparim or manuscripts, and I see what you have. And I'm trying to figure out, how can I get it? How can I get you to sell me this object? It would be a great addition to my collection.
Or you offer him a price for it.
You offer him what?
A price for it.
A price. Well, we're not up to Los Sachmod yet. We're going to get to Los Sachmod in a minute, but Los Sachmod for sure. Because I have two elements in Los Sachmod. We'll see the Aruch HaShulchan in the middle. He adds a third element. But number one, I desire it because you have it and I want it. Number two, I'm already scheming in my mind. How can I get you to part with it and sell it? That's a violation of a Lav Doraisa.
We'll go a little bit back. Is this only on something that it's a unique item? Yeah. Meaning if he has a Melech Kolka, you go buy down
right.
the block. So is it? I mean,
hang on. That's going to be our main issue today. Is it losis ave for the physical object that you own? That specific object, hachefetz haspecific hazeh, ani rotze oto. Well, no. That hachefetz represents a class or a group of objects. I see that you have it. I see how beautiful it is. I desire it. I'm going to go out and buy one for myself. Maybe that itself is losis ave.
But as far as I understand it, the critical issue here is the scheming is doing something sort of not quite asur, but like sort of illegitimate. If you just want to give him a price for it and you know, in a friendly manner, just offer him offer to buy his whatever.
If in your mind you're just saying to him, you know, I'll offer him a price, and if he doesn't take it, that's it. Get ended. We're finished. So, you know, so pasuk, I'm out of here. You know, finito. That's it. But if you're planning in your mind, because you know he's not going to take your price, you know that you have a bottom price, and then you're going to raise the price, and you can come back to him and back to him. If you really scheme, or you know someone who could impact on him, if you scheme, how can I do this? How can I finally get him to sell it to me?
Or maybe
that's a violation of the law.
You even have to be a friend. If I'm watching an advertisement and I see something really nice, I really want it.
Oh, so that's already something else. That's a different problem. That's not los esava. Los esava means from a person. You know, the Torah specifies
everything. Someone owns it.
But he doesn't have to be a friend of mine. But I've seen it in his possession. You know, that's the basic.
Los tachmod is to protect the person who's owns the object from your scheming.
I view my house as a gallery. Anybody can come in, buy whatever they want. The minimum price is $1 million.
No problem.
Anything.
No problem.
My house is great like that.
No problem. If you're a salesman, I can come in, I can desire you, you have a price tag, I pay you. But we're talking about a different kind of scenario, John. We're talking about a case where you're not selling anything, and I come in and I see it, you have a beautiful kli, and I want to buy it. And I'm already figuring out, even though you have no desire to sell it, how can I cajole you to get to sell you? And that the Rambam says is taiva shebelev bilvad, it's only in the lev, and you violate the law. The Aruch HaShulchan, though, embellishes this. You're familiar with the Aruch HaShulchan? His name was Epstein. He was a Rav back in Lithuania 100 plus years ago. And he writes the following. Choshe Mishpat Simon Shin Nun Tes. He writes, Ein Adam Over Al Isur. When does he violate the Isur Lotzis Ave? Ela Im, number one, Gomar Belibo. He made a decision, he wants to get it. The hichlit, but he went beyond that. He not only decided that he has to get it, shegam yase hishtadlus gedola, right, as opposed to your case where he just, you know, offers him a price, but hishtadlus gedola, v'haftzara meruba, Okay, we have to see exactly what constitutes haftzaga meruba. But he's going to go beyond the normal. You know, it's not like I walk by you and I say, hey, look, maybe you have two of these. Would you mind parting with one? You know, or what did you pay for it? I'll match the price. That's not what's going on here. He's doing a hishtadlus gedola and haftzara gedola. He's going to come back to you and push you until finally kadesh lahasig hachefetz. So again, it comes out that according to the Aruch HaShulchan, it's not just enough to plan it, but you have to make a decision that you will implement that plan and go to all ends, offering a price that's way beyond what normally somebody
would
to buy from him.
From him.
But this is how before you actually do anything, right?
Correct.
You're just defining.
It's all in your life. But yeah. What? But you have to have a gemiras das. As you know, we always talk about kinyanim. If I marry a woman, I have to have a gemiras das, an absolute, a complete decision, and that's what here also he has to have a complete decision that I am going to go to all ends, even if I need hishtaglus gedola haftzara meruba in order to get him to sell it to me.
So
at the end of the
I want his thing, but I'm going to buy it from someone else. No problem.
If you're going to buy it from someone else,
he doesn't want his thing, but I'm going to buy it somewhere else.
So that's what we're going to get to soon. I don't want to stack the cards. What I'd like to do is learn the Makarot with you inside. But again, just to finish up the Aruch HaShulchan, because the next thing we want to do is see the difference in the Rama between Los Isav and Los Sachmod. And one last point, he says that even if, says the Aruch HaShulchan, you don't actually scheme how you're going to get him to sell it, but you have this desire in your heart, even that, he says, one should avoid, but that's already, he calls it midat hachasidut. You see, what we're seeing here in Los Isava is sort of like an overlap of two different things. One thing is what we call a midah maguna. You know, a person has to build on his midos, he has to be godlike, he has to divine. And the other thing is a technical violation of a law. Where is the borderline? Where is the transition between midos rose, something that we would discourage you from, and a violation of the law? If you have in mind to get something that someone else owns because you desire it, that's already a midah ra. At what point do you cross the red line and now it becomes a violation of the law of Los Ava in the technical sense? That's when you plan and scheme, how can I get it to him with all the hishtatlus, all the work that I have to do. Okay, now, what's the difference between Los Ava and Los Sachmod, both of which appear in the parsha that we read yesterday? The Rambam writes again in Perek Aleph Milchus Gzela, Kol Hachomed. Now we're talking about Lo Sachmod Avdo or Amoso Beso Vekel Shachaver Kol Dov Shef Shlo Shiknei Menu VeHichbid Olav Bireim. You know, he sent friends of his to try to pressure him VeHiftir Bo and cajole him at Shalokho Mimenu. Rabbo said, what happened now? How did things change?
Sold it.
Exactly. He got him to sell it. In other words, whereas Los Isava, he was scheming, he made the decision and he already planned it out, but he hadn't implemented that plan. Now he makes the transition, the next step over to Los Sachmod, and he actually implemented his plan. And he was successful. And the Rambam says the following, and watch this, because the Ravid is going to get very upset about this next edition. Afal pisha nosan lo domim rabim. He gave it, there was no cheating over here. He didn't underpay him. On the contrary, maybe he gave more money than even anyone else would pay him for it. Nevertheless, hareza over belosas. The sale is valid, but he violates a law. Isn't that amazing? I mean, again, I would wonder if there's any other, you know, just on the Maimon Muzgar, I just sometimes have an emotional comment in brackets, you know, I where would you find a legal system in the world that would say that you purchased something from someone legally, the guy sold it to you, you paid him more than it's worth, and you violated the law? I don't know. I can't believe that there's... You know, again, I'm not a bucky, and you know, I didn't take contemporary religion in Princeton. You know, I know someone who has a PhD from Princeton in comparative religion, but it's hard for me to believe that any legal system in the world would say that you violated the law when you bought something and the guy willingly sold it to you and you paid him all the money and even more. But that's
if someone's like my boss, there could be a problem. Maybe he made me sell it then.
Exactly.
He said willingly.
Even if it was
willingly.
It could be, yeah. An appearance of use of power is a more.
In many cases.
Maybe it's just is the iser benad al-khaber or benad al-mato?
I think
it's like benad al-khaber, I'm fine. I bought it. But benad al-mato, what does that do for me internally?
Right, that's how it's almost desire. It's almost like benad al-yatzma.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is obviously Ben Amla Chavera. Well, again, we're going to see the Raivad sheet is very different. You know, what?
Does he get Malkus?
And the Rambam says he gets Malkus for this because
there's a Maisa.
Because it's a Maisa Lekicha. In other words, whereas the Iser of Los Nisav is Belev, and therefore there's no Malkus, because we don't give Malkus for violation of a Machshava. But in the case of Los Sachma, where I actually purchased him, then if there were Edom and Asra, I violate a Lav and I get Malkus. Shenem Los Sachma. Okay, so there are two chidushim here in the Rambam. The first chidush in the Rambam is that Lo Sachman is not violated until he's motzi al apoel, his chemda, his taiva shebelev, and he purchases the object. Number two, he violates the isur despite the fact that he paid the full value. However, on this last point, that the sale was valid, and nevertheless he violates Lo Sachmod, we're going to see a gigantic machlokes, and the Rambam is not universally accepted. Because the Gemara tells us, in Bav Metzia Daf Hei Amud Beis, that if you violate Gzeilin, you steal something, then we can no longer trust your Shmua, you can't take an oath in the courts. But what about someone who violates Lo Sachmod? So the Gemara used the term Bav Metzia Daf Hei Amud Beis, Lo Sachmod Le'inshi. Le'inshi means how do people on the street understand Lo Sachmod? You know, your man on the street understands Lo Sachmod below Dami Mashmalahu. He thinks that you only violate Lo Sachmod when you don't pay the Dami. You didn't pay for the object. In other words, this guy paid for the object, so he doesn't even believe that he violated a law. If I tap somebody on the back and say to him, hey, buddy, you just violated Lo Sachmod, the guy's going to look at me like I'm nuts. He's going to say, what do you mean? Why did I violate Lo Sachmod? I paid full price for the object.
And it's like the Chavetz Chaim says that sometimes, like many people think that you're only over on Lashon Hara if it's a sheker.
Right. There's some common misnomers here. So Le'inshi below Domi Mashmalahu. People walk around with the impression that Lo Sachmod would never be violated if I paid good money for it. Well, what do you want from my life? The guy sold it to me willingly. I gave him all the bucks.
But then there's never Lo Sachmod. So what is Lo Sachmod?
No, you can see soon. Well, let's go through the Rishonim. Again, the other Rishonim are going to say that you didn't pay for it, and then you violated Lo Sachmod. The question is, what's the difference between Lo Sachmod and Lo Sigzo? We'll get to, but take a look. So here's the Machlokas Rishonim. You have it on the bottom of your first page. According to some Rishonim, what the person on the street thinks about Lo Sachmod is actually true. He doesn't violate Lo Sachmod if he pays Domin. We're going to soon see that's the Shitas Raivad. But the other Rishonim, the Rambam is prominent at the head of the pack, they maintain that this is a mistake, that the person, the rank and file citizen, doesn't understand that Lo Sachmod applies despite the fact that you pay the Damim. So we'll start with Das HaTosfos. Tosfos in Bav Metzia Daf Hei Amud Beis and in Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis, according to one answer, they say that it's true. If he paid Damim, he does not violate Lo Sachmod. When does he violate Lo Sachmod? Eina Adam over al Isu ze elok shol kecha chayfetz below nesinas domin. Again, the question is, why isn't that gzela? But maybe the Torah is adding a second lot. What?
Maybe.
Or maybe at the end he walked away from it. Okay, good. Very good. So what does that pshat say? That Lo Sachmod v'lo Domi Mashmul L'Inshi is the MS. It's not that the Gemara doesn't mean to say that they made a mistake. The Gemara is saying that Kasha L'Shvua, even though they violated Lo Sachmod, because they didn't violate Lo Sachmod, because they actually paid for it. Okay?
Maybe I convinced you to give me something.
I convinced you? I paid for it? That's not Lo Sachmod. When do you violate Lo Sachmod? Says the Ravid, which you'll see in the second paragraph on page 2, if the mocher, the seller, agrees to sell the object and he declares rotza on me, then he alleviates the buyer from violating the law. So the Magid Mishnah explains that according to the Ravid, the Isur of Losach but only applies in a case where the mocher never really agreed to sell it. Once he gives his agreement and he says rotza on me, he now has removed the Isur from the buyer. So again, if you take a look at the top of page 2, according to the Rambam, if he gave the Damim, despite that fact, he violates Lo Sachmot. The Ravid would also agree that even if he gave the Damim, he violates Lo Sachmot. Where's the Machlok between the Rambam and the Ravid? The Rambam says he violates Lo Sachmot even though what? The sale is valid. Now again, even the Ravid agrees he paid for it. And he still violates Lo Sachmot. But the question is, did the Mocher agree to the sale? The Mocher initially said, I don't want to sell it to you. Hiftir bo, etc. And then he gave him the Damim. And then what happened? If I throw the Damim on the table and I walk out with the object, and you, the seller, never declare rotza on me, then the Ravid says, I violate Lo Sachmot. Because the sale itself is not valid until you change your mind and explicitly mention that now you're willing to sell it, you know, the price is good or whatever it might be. Until that point, the sale is not valid. Says the Ravid, even though he paid the full money, but the sale is not valid because the mocher never said rotzani, that's when he violates Lo Sachmot. The Rambam says, even if the seller declares rotzani, which means that the sale is valid, he violates Lo Sachmot. So if you take a look in the top paragraph, he says, Lufi derech zu masha nemar b'gemara she'isa Lo Sachmot nemar b'lo nesinas domim hainu rak shekach mashma la'noshim. And therefore, since people are under that misimpression that if I pay the money, there's no violation of Lo Sachmot, therefore we're gonna include him his shvuah is acceptable. But the emes is that even though he paid the damim, he violates Lo Sachmot. But here's where we have a machlokas, the Rambam and the Ravid. The Ravid says even though he paid the damim, he violates Lo Sachmot because the mocher never said rotzani. Since he never declared rotzani, the mecher is eino kayam, it's not valid. According to the Rambam, even if the mocher, the buyer gave the full damim, the seller declared rotzani, but since he was maftirbo, he came back because of his desire, and he cajoled him, therefore he violates losa. What is hiftirbo? Exactly, that's what we want to see in the next paragraph. Just one second. I just want to just review the last paragraph on page 1. When he quotes the Tosin Sanhedrin, he says, "Ein adam over al iser ze elik shalokeach chifetz below nesinas domit." So, my friends, how many different opinions or definitions do we have for Lo Sachmot?
So, not
three. Let's go with all three. According to Tosis, once I pay domim, I don't violate Lo Sachmot. According to the Ravid, even though I paid domim, since the Mocha did not say rotzani, I violate the law of Lo Sachmot. The Rambam says that even if I paid domim, and even if the Mocha said rotzani, nevertheless I violate the law of Lo Sachmot. So if we look at this bottom paragraph of Tosin and Sanhedrin according to one answer, plus the Rambam and the Ravid on the next page, we have three different definitions of Lo Sachmot. But everybody agrees, whether it's Tosis, whether it's the Rambam, or the Ravid, that the reason why I violate the lav of Lo Sachmot is because I was maftirbo. What does that mean, maftirbo? So there was a Rav Bezalel Stern, he lived about 2.5 centuries ago, and he's famous for a tshuva called Bezalel Chachma. And he writes that what does it mean? What constitutes hiftirbo? He writes, "Ein adam over al iser zel b'makom shedachak b'mocher." He pressured the seller, limchar lo chifetz shalosh piyamin, 3 times.
Where does he get that 3 from?
He claims that he bases himself on the Sma, the Sefer Mirasei Nayim. But what's the logic? Why should it be required that he pressures him 3 times over? And not only that, the Shari Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah, now we're going back 1,000 years in time, he writes in Shar Gimel that there's no objective definition of what's Hiftir Bo. He says, Adam Nichbad, if let's say I'm a very important person, and if I tell you sell it to me, you know, because you have some sort of respect for me, my request will be fulfilled, that itself is considered pressuring the mocher. The mocher had no intention of selling it, but he can't say no. He says, this is not an objective criterion. He says, as long as you are in the position that you could pressure someone in whatever shape or form you do so, that's considered a violation of Lo Sachma. So under what circumstances can we salvage anything from this Betzel Chachma? Let's say a person is not an Ish Nichbad. You know, he doesn't fit into that description of Rabbeinu Yonah where the very fact that he requests that the mocher sell it, that's going to be oppression. In such a case, at what point do we finally say that this individual who wants to get the object overstepped his bounds, he did a little bit too much, and he put such pressure that he violates Lo Sachma? And that's where I think the Betzel Chachma comes into place. Meaning there are exceptional cases where a person is in a position where he can easily pressure someone else to sell something to him. But barring those extenuating circumstances, that's the Yotze Min HaKlal, when we talk about the Klal itself, then it's 3 times. So you ask the question, where does he get this number 3 from? So obviously we could talk about a chazaka, right? A chazaka is if you repeat something 3 times. But I wouldn't be satisfied with that answer. I mean, chazaka 3 times means you create a pattern. Here we're not talking about a pattern, we're talking about pressuring another person. So I thought maybe the answer to this question could be the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva says that if I sin against someone else, I have to ask him for mechila. Good, I asked him for mechila and he refused. So the Rambam says it's not enough to ask him once and then just walk away. You have to be maftil. You have to really try to pressure him. And the Rambam says, you know how many times you have to come back to ask him? 3 times. After the 3rd time, hu achote, the guy who doesn't want to give you mechila, again, only if you're sincere, etc., and you implemented all the formal requirements of bakashas mechila. In any event, Rabbeinu Yonah, getting back to Rabbeinu Yonah, adds another thing. He writes, "Asu adam lishol me imrei eu mekach om matas." What is mem tuf tuf?
A gift.
You can't even ask someone to give you a gift. That too, he says, is included under the law of Lo Sachma. So we don't limit Lo Sachma, according to Rabbeinu Yonah at least, to a sale. It even applies to a gift. Rabosai, I'm telling you, I don't think that people know this. You know, we talk about one of the Aseres Adibros. There are so many situations where you want something and you pressure someone to give it to you or to sell it to you. And there are so many different subtle ways of pressuring a person. You know, you don't have to go to the Betzel Chachma's extreme of bringing your friends and pressuring them 3 times over. There are other ways, more subtle ways of pressuring someone. You know, you come into someone. When I was a kid, we used to collect baseball cards. I'm really dating myself here. You know, anybody here know about that? What do they have now?
The trading card game, where there's an actual game to the cards.
Okay. So if you collect baseball cards, and you know you want to get, in my day, there was a baseball player called Roger Maris. Again, you would have never heard of him because all the records that he broke have already been broken over and over again. But when I was following the New York Yankees, Roger Maris hit 61 home runs. He beat Babe Ruth. Again, only those who know American sports history will appreciate this. So Roger Maris became like a Getchka. It was almost a avodah zarah mamish. And if anyone had a baseball card of Roger Maris, it was very well desired. And it's natural that you see someone and you say to him, I'm going to pressure him. Somehow he's going to sell it to me. So if you're a good friend and he doesn't want to disappoint you, or again, I don't want to use subtle cases, but imagine if you're his professor in college and you're going to have to give him a grade for the year. So there are many different ways of pressuring a person. But you mentioned the Chafetz Chaim before. The Chafetz Chaim has 2 chidushim. Excuse me. He has 1 chidush that he repeats in 2 different works. In the Shmiras HaLashon, at the end of Perek Ches, he writes that a chasan. First he's talking about a mechuta. So let's say, for example, I'm marrying my daughter off to your son. So you're going to be my mechut, right? So you come over to me, right, and you start pressuring me to give more to the chasan kala, right? To give a greater give. So I think more often than not, it's the father of the chatan. I'm not sure. I mean, that's maybe an American thing. Here it's 50-50 in Israel. So you start pressuring your mechuta to add to the nedunya. Nedunya is the dowry that you bring into the marriage. Says the Chafetz Chaim, it's a violation of Lo Sachma. He's not sure about it. He writes Lichora Over Bekach. You know, even the Chafetz Chaim didn't want to create a new Chumrah. However, the Chafetz Chaim authored another book, which is called the Sefer Mitzvos HaKotzer. It's a short synopsis of the 613. And he writes Matsui Zeh on the Lav of Lo Sachma. He writes,
he's not even taking it. It's for someone else.
Oh, excellent. He says Matsui Zeh Bechatan. How does the Chafetz Chaim now change his lingo a little bit? Do you notice? It's almost identical, but he makes one subtle change, which if you blink, you could miss it. He's no longer talking as he does in Shmirat HaLashon about the Mechutan pressuring. He's talking about the Chatan himself pressuring. And the Chatan looks at his future father-in-law, and he says to him, Shver, as we say in Yiddish, right? My future father-in-law, please, give me a little bit more for my Chatuna. Interesting. The Chofetz Chaim adds another condition. This wasn't part of the original deal. You know, now he wants more. And I'll tell you, Rabosai, again, this all may sound very strange to your ears, but in contemporary society, these things go on all the time. There are people who see marriage as more than just marriage. It's an opportunity, you know, to get some good dowries. You know, I don't want to go into detail here because there's one famous yeshiva in America where they used to talk about the yeshiva book had a price tag on his head. You know, that how much was he worth? You know, the afal pishechosno memali v'vakashoso. At the end of the day, his future father-in-law gives in under pressure. He collapses. He doesn't want to ruin the shidduch. He wants to start on the right foot with his future son-in-law. Over hachatan alav zelo dol tachma. Notice that the Chofetz Chaim here doesn't say l'chora. He left out the l'chora. And I think the answer is yours, because whereas in Shmiras Halash he's talking about the mechutanim dealing, they're not getting it into their pocket. Here he's talking about the chatan himself.
I wasn't a sale. The
Betzel, we're getting, I want to just finish up that tshuva in the Sefer Betzel Chachma. Betzel Chachma writes that he wants to find some justification for chatanim, because he says that he doesn't believe that the Chofetz Chaim really meant what he said. You know, he wasn't talking about the Chofetz Chaim per se, but he's saying, you know, we should take the Chofetz Chaim's words with a grain of salt. It's not technically a violation, but really it comes under midat chasidut. Because technically, even if the chatan says to his father-in-law, I need more, please give me more, that's not a violation, because as we'll soon see, if there's a more general chemda for extra money, but it's not that I ask you for a particular object. Now again, if the chatan would say to his father-in-law before the marriage, hey look, you know, this is, we're going through a deal here, as part of the deal, I need that. He points to some beautiful piece of silver or whatever it might be, that would be a violation of Lo Tachmo, no difference than someone else. You might say, but wait a minute, this is not a sale, it's a gift. But we saw Rabbi Yehuda, that even a gift is included.
He's marrying his daughter, so it's still staying in the same...
Same family, yeah. So you want to be Malamed Tzchus, and maybe it's not going from one brishus to the other. I see you get along very good with your father-in-law. That's the shot. Okay, I'll let you go just with one more paragraph and we'll finish it up. What happens if a person wants to be rich? Misha Chomeis Osho Shel Chaver. I walk into your house and I see wealth. And I walk out of there thinking, I also like to be wealthy, right? Should that be considered a violation of Lo Tachmod? So there's a sefer called Derech Pikudecha. It's a Chassidish Rebbe. He's very famous for the Bnei Yisachar. He wrote the author of Bnei Yisachar. And he writes, Afilu Chomeid Sheyelo Chefetz Dugmas Chefetz Shal Chavero. He doesn't want that object that's sitting on the, you know, on the coffee table in the living room of a person, of a friend. Not that object, but he desires to get that object. he's going to go out and buy it. Not the specific object, you know, the physical be'en, as we call it, the chavetz, huh? But he wants to buy something very similar because he desires it. Over al iser lotachmas. My friends, this B'nai Yisrael is radically expanding the scope of lotachmas. I'm partially afraid to share this with you because
it's like the first sheet of the.
Well, we never actually saw anyone going on record as saying that if I just want to buy something similar to you, not that I force you or cajole you to sell me that object, but I saw the object in your possession, I had a tremendous desire to get it, and with that passion, I surfed the net, you know, and I looked, where can I get that object? Who else would be willing to sell it to me? So I spent hours on eBay, you know, and I did this, and then I went into every, what do they call those shops? The pawn shops, and I looked, where can I get it? I'm a collector, I want it. Says Bnei Yisachar, I violated the Sachma. I didn't even force you to sell it to me.
To me, that sounds the most.
Well, yeah, I mean, if I'm at something and I see something nice, the question I ask is not how much would you sell it to me, I'm like, oh, cool, where'd you get it? And the answer usually is, oh, yeah, at that corner store, I was on sale for five shekel. I'm like, oh, cool. Like, that's.
So anyway, the Betzel HaChachma says that this Chiddush of Bnei Yisrael is against all the Rishonim in the post. We don't find any Posek, any Rishon who went on record as saying this. It's a Chiddush. You can take it. Call it Midat Chasidut if you like. But it's not according to Allah. He says, Ein Adam Over Elam Kein Chomeid Chefet Specifi Shal Chavero. He wants a particular object of his friends. And to boot, he quotes Rabbeinu Avram ben Arambam, whose language is, listen carefully, Azharahi Al Eze Chefet Sheyesh Pershusel Shal Chavero Lo Al Mashed Domela Oso Chefet.
He wants himself to have it and his friend not to have it.
Okay. I don't know. I didn't think in those terms, but.
It's just meaning that the Isser is not on the Chavero, it's the Sachmat in general. Shouldn't Sachmat anything?
That's it. According to whom? According to Bnei Yisachar or according to Rabbeinu Avraham ben Aram? So, according to Rabbeinu Avraham of Rambam, Lo Sachman is on that chayfetz that you own. And the Betzel Chachma says that all the Rishonim accepted that. According to the Bnei Yisachar, I see a chayfetz in your possession, I desire it, I go out and buy it, I violate Lo Sachman. It's pili plon. Again, you know, if you were a Glitziana Chassid, this would be very nervous news to you. Because, you know, the Bnei Yisachar amongst the, what they call the Glitziana, my parents were a mixed marriage. My father was a Litvak, and my mother was a Glitziana. They used to, literally, when my parents got married, again, you laugh at this, it was considered a mixed marriage. It was considered more radical than today in Israel, as Sfaradi married an Ashkenazi. Much more radical. A Glitziana? How could you do such a thing? And my father married my mother. She was a Glitziana. And again, you know, there were cultural differences between my father and his in-laws because my, you know, the in-laws were from Romania, Transylvania, you know, all these Glitziana places. But if you mention to a Glitziana Yid the Bnei Yisachar, watch his face. I'm telling you, he will falkirin. I mean, this is like the giant. In fact, yesterday, one of the members of Al Kolel, Adam Winston, spoke at Shal Shudas. The main point of his drasha was based on the Bnei Yisachar, not about Los Alamos, but on a different topic, about what the relationship between the 3 weeks of Bein HaMetzarim and now the period going into Elul, and the Bnei Yisachar has a whole cheshbon that there are 40 days, and this, and there's a whole thing. And the last point I want to make here is, I don't know if you're familiar with the Sefer called the Orech Meisharim, which is one of the classics on Mitzvos Bein Onam L'Chavero. He writes, Mishahu Ra'ev, a person is hungry, and he gets invited to his friend. He walks into his friend's house, his friend has a festive banquet meal spread on the table. There's no question about the fact that he's going to have a desire, a very strong one, to satiate his hunger, and to go out and try to get this. Are you going to tell me that because that happens, he violates Lo Sachmod? Because it says Kol Hashel Reyecha. He says no. Nira Mipashas Haksuvim Shlo Osra Torah El Lisavos Mashul Reyehu Dafka. It's not that he desires, you know, the piece of the chveis, the passion fruit that's sitting on the table, right? He desires to fill his hunger. That's not lo sachmo. Avo, but if choshev misave, if he wants to desire that object, or at least something very similar to that object, he's not trying to satiate his hunger, then he says, Aval im choshev misave miyitein viyeli kazeh, eino over. If he says, I wish I could have something similar, that's not a violation. Nir beheje shehuz harnu dafkal is avos mashehu l're'enu avoloshu sarnu shiyah gamla. Again, that's the fundamental decision. If the distinction is as follows. If I desire that I should have something similar, according to this, there's no violation. If I desire that object, that's a violation of lo sach. Okay then, Rabosai, we didn't finish, but at least we got through most of it. If you get a chance and you want to take the sheets with you.
Really want to
finish. What? If anybody could stay, I would finish it up. You know, but I just, you know, I'm always, you know, you guys are working here, so I, you know, I'm on vacation. I'm on Ben Zman, I'm a big shot, you know. Alright? So what we want to finish up with is the Divrei Yitziv. The Divrei Yitziv is a commentary on and a Shailos and Tshuvos on Choshev Mishpat, and he writes the following: Kisherotza Leos Asher Kiploni. He looks at someone who's very wealthy, and he says, "You know, I'd like to be as wealthy as he is." Lo Havi B'chlal Halav. That's not considered part of the law. Now, again, if he would stop here, so we're on board with him. He wants to say that even the Bnei Yisoskar would agree that if a person says, I want to be rich like so-and-so, he doesn't violate the law. Afil lefi aderech pikudecha, rak shechalos hachemdehi al cheftza shal chavero, sherotza kemoso mamish, that's considered a violation. The Bnei Yisoskar didn't mean that if I walk out of your house and I say, oh, I wish I was as rich as you are, that I violate the law. The Bnei Yisoskar says, I saw an object in your house, and I desire that object, and I go out and I buy the object because of my desire. That's a violation. And it's against all the other poskim from Ben Aramam, who says it's only if I cajole you to sell me or to give me that object. But the Bnei Yisoskar allows for an expansion of the law to even include where I don't get that object, I go out and buy another object. But if I just say in a general sense, I wish I could be wealthy like he is, that is not a violation, even according to the Glitziana Reva, a violation. And therefore, Chatan Shedoresh Eze Davar Michotno, according to the Divrei Yitziv, you remember what the Chafetz Chaim had said, be careful, Chatan, you know, don't try to squeeze your father-in-law for more money. He says that would not be a violation of Lo Sachmod, even though Rabbeinu Yonah says that even a gift is included in Lo Sachmod. But here, he's not demanding something specific. He's not pointing to an object. Again, if the Chatan would point to the vase on the table, he says, give me this vase, or else I'm out of here. That would be a violation of Lo Sach. Now, somebody asked me, I think it was Jonathan, what happens if I desire something that I could just go down the block and buy it in every local, five and cent store? So he says that that there's a quote here from a sefer called the Eretz Tzvi. From the Gur, right? The Admor Migur, the Imre Emes. He says, "Lo shayach lo sach b'cholder shemotzi l'knosu b'shuk." This is a very important point. I mean, it changes a lot of this, impacts on a lot of what we discussed today. If it's accessible, you know, it's every other block you can buy it. That's not lo sach.
Yeah, because the Torah says that something like his house or his wife, you know, those are like things that you can't get an identical house in the same place just like he has. Because, you know, when it comes to a house, it's not just to have this, you know, two floors or three or four. It's to be in the same location, you know. It's,
right. Everything's about location.
Yeah.
That's what the real estate people say, right? But you should know that this Chiddush of the Ger Rebbe probably is irreconcilable with the Bnei Yisoskar. Because again, the Bnei Yisoskar says, I saw an object by you, and now I go out and buy the same object. What the Eretz HaTzvi is saying is the following. If it's Matsui, and I can get it anywhere, then it's not that I'm desiring your object. I'm desiring you know, a class or a genre of objects, you know, in abstract terms. So I go down the store, I go down the block, and I buy it. But according to Bnei Yisachar, who says that the Isur of Lo Yachmod is Lo Sachmod is not limited to the object per se that you have, but from that object, I am in a state of passion to try to buy something similar to that object.
Just because he wants it.
Because
still,
he wants
it's still
it.
A steal. You can still put them together.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can say that the Mesechah will agree that it has to be such a kind of item
right.
that is not very easy to buy. And then you're able to release it as soon as you want it, even if you don't buy it.
But Bosa, I'm going to leave you with one last thing here. Rav Yisrael Fisher, I don't know if you heard of him, he died, what is it, about 5 years? No, it's more than that. Yeah. Rav Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, he writes that let's say a person has a kidney, and with that kidney, he could donate it to his brother or sister, and his parents are pressuring him to do so. He says, Shema, he's not sure about it, Asur lahorim lilchotz al bnam, the parents are not allowed to pressure him to give up his kidney. Again, we're not talking about pikuach nefesh. Sha'ovrim b'kach al isur lo sachma. No, so sachma doesn't only apply to an object that's on the market, that's sellable. Again, we can come back to the Rambam and see if it stims with the Rambam, but any object whatsoever, even if it's a kidney, even if it's part of your body.
It's not even for himself, it's for his son.
Correct. And he's not allowed to do that. It's a pella. He says that Rav Fisher is mechadesh devadai ein halav de lo sachma. In other words, after raising this question, he finally concludes that this is not within the purview of lo sachma. But listen to his reasoning, because you don't see the kidney. Mm. He says, what object is you know, all the objects that are listed in the Torah de lo sachma are all visible. He says, davar shero oso v'chomdo, aval davar she'ein adam yochel oso lo shayach bo lo sachma. I was very disappointed. I was hoping for something a little bit more, you know, that I could sink my teeth. Oh, now he says the second svar. This is already powerful. He says, "Vaday lo nemar lo sakvad al dover shechomdo li atzmo, avol chomdo acherim lo shayach bazel lo sakma." But what about the brother himself? Let's say he pressures you.
That would be a problem.
Wow! Could you imagine lo sakma if you? You know, you need the kidney. Again, I'm not saying... Mind-boggling. So at the bottom he says that there's reason to believe in the Rambam that lo sachmod only applies to something that's sellable. You know, a kidney is not sellable. Now, I'm not sure that a kidney is not sellable. I mean, can you sell a kidney on the open market? Well, let's just go back to page one and read the Rambam.
Read the marketplace.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's illegal, though. It's a black market. It's
not...
Yeah, there are countries where you're allowed to sell your kidneys?
China,
you could sell anything. Oh, I don't want to go into detail. But let's just reread the Rambam. The Rambam's language, which would be on page one in the fourth paragraph, he says, Kolonis Ava Beso Ishto Vikalev Shalchavikin Kliotsev is a Mishadvarm She'efsho Liknoson Mimen. So again, if I assume that it's illegal to purchase a kidney, just if you grant me that, Lisaberta Ozman, mm-hmm. then I would say that it doesn't fit into the Rambam's definition of Lo Sisava, nor to his definition of Lo Sachma. Because the Rambam, if you fast forward a few paragraphs, Kol Achomed Avdo Amoso Beisav Akelev, or Kol Dov Shef Shalosh Yiknenim Mimen. So in both cases... No, but I'm saying, I think the Rambam is pointing out that every one of those objects that's included under Lo Sisava, Lo Sachma is sellable. If you argue that the, you know, the state, or the, you know, again, maybe even halachically, that, you know, you can't put a price tag on a part of your body. You see, this touches on a thing. Did we ever discuss whether a person's allowed to injure themselves? We never talked about it, did we? Okay, Chovil B'Atzmo is awesome. And according to many poskim, it's the Rav Shulchan Aruch and others, the reason why Chovel B'Atzmo is prohibited is because the person doesn't own his own body. Did you realize that? Yeah, that's a sensational conclusion. You know, sometimes halacha has a philosophy behind it. You know, the underlying philosophy, this is what the Rav Shulchan Aruch points out, of Chovel B'Atzmo, of why it's usur. Yeah, and I can make all sorts of cheshbons. You know what? it's worth it for me to be chovel v'atzma. Yeah, the Gemara has a case. Do you remember the Gemara has a case where the man is walking through a field and it has thorns and thistles, and he takes off all of his, you know, shoes and his, and he picks up his cloak, because if he walks on the thistles, it's going to get ripped, and it's a very expensive cloak. He doesn't want to take the loss. And the Gemara says, I think it was Rav Chisda, and he walked on the thistles and he had injuries all over his feet. Say Rav Chisda, you know what? My moment is adif. You know, it's more important to me. I can't replace this cloak. I don't have the money. I don't have the funds. Whereas my injuries will be healed. So this Gemara, I forget where it is right now, engendered a whole plukta, a whole machlokas, whether you're allowed to do this or you're not allowed to do this, whether Rav Chisda had extenuating circumstances or it was not according to the Shitas Chachamim. But in any event, there is an Isur of Chovel B'Atzma. Now, I'm making a logical statement over here. It's worth it for me to suffer these injuries in order to save myself a bomb of money. So I put money on one side of the scale and my injuries on the other, my body. And the Rav Shulchan Aruch writes that you don't own your body. You think you're a bialim on your body. You want to be meichel and therefore get the money. You can't do so.
So in that case, giving a kidney might be a halachic problem. Natural giving.
Okay, so most of the poskim say that as long as you're not endangering your life. Now, if you're endangering your life,
we weren't talking about endangering.
Right. No, I'm just saying, if you're not endangering your life and you're doing it for the sake of someone else's health, then you're not chayav to do it, but you're allowed to. Okay, Rabosai.
Once Hashem says that you have to be more nefesh to something, it means that your body, your nefesh and your body are
not only. Good.
Apparently, actually, just here.
Yeah, you told me.
I waited for a few weeks and I just left.
What do you say?
Once the Torah has the power to tell us that we could give up our lives for some, for us, the.
Right. Yeah, hard bal yavo.
Right. Right. So that itself shows us that we're not the owner of our bodies and our lives.
Right. In fact, it could be, you know, the Ramban Shita is that Ramban al Torah that before that we said Nasa v'nishma, but the clincher of the gerus at Matan Torah was only after the Karban HaGer was brought at the end of Parashas Mishpatim in Perek Chav Dal. Do you remember that Perek? There's a whole pluta between Rashi and the Rambam with Ein Mukta Mukha B'Torah,
right.
Because the Torah was given in Perek Chav of Shmos. Four Prakim later, all of a sudden there's something called Karban HaGer, and all the laws of Geras we learn from what happened to Bnei Yisrael before Matan Torah. You know, there was Milah, there was Tefillah, V'kibasim Esim Lo Seichem. Milah was before they ate the Korban Pesach. And finally, Kabbalah's old mitzvahs, when they said Nasa v'nishma, says the Ramban, but there's a fourth element to Kabbalah's gerus, and that's the karbon. And that karbon was brought on Zion Siva, not on Vav Siva. Because, you know, the Ramban wants to maintain the sequence of the Torah. He doesn't like Ein Mukta Mukha B'Torah. So I once heard from my Rebbe, he wanted to say that that we accepted the whole Torah, but one concept we didn't accept yet. And that is that Hashem he owns us, even our nefesh. And that was clinched after we said Nasa v'nishma on Zion, when we brought the Karban HaGer, you know, the Matan Domim. And so forth. Anyway, that's just a good one. Okay, then. All right, call to it. Have a great week. Oh, how are you doing?